Greetings and welcome to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tuned in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. This month, we'll be speaking on the topic, Only the Bad Die Twice. This is a follow-up to our series of studies from 2 months ago entitled Life, Find It, Get It, Learn It, Live It. We're talking this month about the get it part of that series of studies. We've seen how that we find life in the Word of God. This month, we want to understand how we can get life, how we can get the life of God in Christ Jesus and make it our possession, make it a part of us. So we invite you to turn in your Bibles to Romans, the 6th chapter. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 is our starting point for this series of studies. And as you get your Bibles and you turn to Romans chapter 6, I will remind you once again that you are watching Grace Alive. And at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you complete information about how you can contact us here at Grace Alive. We have an address, of course, a mail address, a toll-free phone number, and also a website. And through that website, you can email us here at Grace Alive. So please get a pen or pencil and some paper. Get that information down at the end of the program for two reasons. Number one, if you have a question about anything that you hear on the program today, we'd be glad to have the opportunity to answer that question and clarify it more for you. And number two, if you'd like a copy of either the audio or video cassette tapes of this entire month's series of studies, we'd be glad to get them out to you also. So whether you would prefer VHS video cassette or audio cassette tapes, whichever, we'd be glad to send them to you. That way you'll have the entire series there that you can study, that you can rewind it, go through it again, so that you can understand for sure how you can get life, the life of Christ, from God, the giver of life. Right now, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Romans 6 and verse number 23. And as I said, Romans 6 is our starting point for this series of studies. The overall topic, verse that we use for this issue of finding, getting, learning, and living life is found in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 17, Paul is preaching on Mars Hill in Athens, and he says to the idol worshipers there that he proclaims to them the living God who giveth to all life and breath and all things. That God that gives life, that's the God of the Bible, that's the God of Scripture, that's the God that we know of, that's the God that's revealed in the pages of this book. When we talked about finding life, we saw that life can be found only in the pages of the Bible, in the pages of God's Word. And the reason that life can be found in the pages of God's Word is because the God that wrote this book is the God that gives life. Now today, we want to continue our study on how to get life. Started last week by answering the question, what is death? Here in Romans chapter 6, Paul says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. So we know that sin brings death. And today we want to talk about how the sin of one man brought death to all mankind. That Adam's sin brought death to you and to me and to all men. And we can't forget, even though we're not quite there yet in our study, that the last part of that verse, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, that's where we're ultimately getting with this study. That the gift of God is eternal life. That God's gift is life. He's a God that giveth to all life. So if you want eternal life, the only way to receive it, and that verse in Acts chapter 17, he giveth to all life. It's not something you can buy. It's not something you can earn. It's not something you can work for. It's not something you can barter for. It's something that must be given as a gift. The gift of God is eternal life. And you can have that gift of God, that eternal life, by simple faith in Jesus Christ. When you believe that he died on the cross for your sins, that when he died there, his shed blood paid the penalty for your sin, and you trust that, then you receive the gift of eternal life. But in our study, we're not quite to that point where we're going to talk more about that and explain that, yet we're still wanting to understand this issue of death. Last week we defined death. What is death? Death is when something ceases to function for the purpose for which it was created. Death does not mean that something ceases to exist. Death does not mean that something ceases to function. But death is when something or some person or any entity at all ceases to function for the purpose for which it was created. And we want to talk about that just a little more today and talk about how that ceasing to function for the purpose for which it was created happened initially with mankind in the Garden of Eden and in Adam, because Adam ceased to function for the purpose for which he was created. And each part of Adam's being ceased to function for the purpose for which it was created. Because of that, that death that Adam brought into the human race has extended down through the ages to today. So that you and I are born in sin. Born in Adam, born in sin. In Adam, that's our topic for today. In Adam, all die. All of the death in humanity, spiritual death, the death of our soul, and the death of our bodies, can be traced back to the very beginning with Adam. In Adam, and in the sin that Adam committed, the wages of sin is death. Turn back to Genesis chapter 2 for just a moment and let's pick up a verse that will help us to understand in Adam all die. The wages of sin is death. It's sin that brings death. What sin is it that Adam committed? How did Adam sin and bring that death? Genesis chapter 2. And in Genesis chapter 2, we want to look at verses 16 and 17. Genesis 2 and verses 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So Adam is given a commandment. Adam is told that you may, and Eve, his wife, are told that you may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, ye shall not eat of it. Ye shall not eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. If you eat it, that's breaking God's law. That will be sin. Sin, the wages of sin is death. So in the day that you sin, in the day you eat of that tree, you will surely die. Chapter 3 and verse 6 of Genesis, we see that come to pass. When the woman saw the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So in Genesis chapter 3, the commandment that God gave in Genesis chapter 2 is violated, is broken. And Adam and Eve both partake of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In so doing, they sin, and in so doing, they bring death. Now, we began to talk about this a little bit last week, that death that came, the wages of sin is death. That's more far-reaching than just the fact that they died physically, or one day would die physically. It also has to do with the fact that every part of them, their body, their soul, and their spirit is alienated and separated from God and ceases to function for the purpose for which it was created. Remember, Adam, in Adam all die, that means in Adam all cease to function for their created purpose. When we say that in Adam all die, we say in Adam all mankind has ceased to function for the purpose for which it was created. We're no longer functioning in the way that God desires us to. We're no longer functioning for the reason that He placed us here. Every part of us, but also just corporately, our whole being. Every part of us, if you look there in Genesis chapter 3, remember mankind we saw last week is spirit, soul, and body. He's a triune being. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, the eyes of them both were opened. They knew that they were naked. Mankind's spirit that was created to know God and created to allow man to understand God and have a relationship with Him, that spirit knows not only God now, but it also knows evil. And mankind becomes conscious of evil and has an intimate relationship now with evil. Verse 8, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. The soul of man, mankind's soul, is the seat of our emotion and our will. It's the seat of our affection. And our soul now no longer is a friend of God. In fact, what happened with Adam and Eve? They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day, and they hid themselves in the presence of the Lord. Well, you don't hide from a friend. But Adam and Eve, they hid them. When they heard the voice of the Lord God, they hid themselves. See, that soul that was to be a friend of God and have communion and fellowship with Him isn't functioning now for that purpose, and that soul now is running and hiding from God. And finally, if you go down to verse 19 in chapter 3, verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Adam and Eve are going to return to the dust, the body that God had created to be the vehicle for their soul and their spirit. That body is going to return to the dust from which it was taken. It'll cease to function for the purpose for which it was created. It'll no longer house their soul and spirit and give them a means of expression on planet Earth. It'll die. It'll go back to the dust from which it was taken. Adam, in Adam all die, cease to function for the created purpose. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. That's each little individual part of Adam that ceases to function for the purpose for which it was created. But in Genesis chapter 1, we read of the overall purpose of man. That is, why did God create man and put him on the earth to begin with? We've seen there's an individual purpose for the spirit, for the soul, and for the body. But why did God create man and put him on the earth? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God told man, God created man, to have dominion on the earth, to rule the earth in his behalf. When God put Adam out in the earth, he put Adam out in the earth to be a prophet, a priest, and a king in the earth, and to rule and reign on the earth, and to establish dominion on the earth. In fact, Adam is to replenish the earth. He is to subdue the earth. The earth and the universe under the control of Satan was in rebellion against God, and God put Adam and his offspring on the earth to subdue it. Now, when we say something is going to be subdued, that means it's out of control. If a police officer subdues a convict, a criminal, or subdues a suspect, that means that that person is out of control and they're subdued. You see, the earth, under the control of Satan, was in rebellion against God, and Adam and human beings in general were placed on the earth to subdue it and to bring it back under God's control and God's authority. That's the purpose for which man was created, to serve God and rule the earth in his behalf. What happened? Well, in chapter 3, Adam and Eve obeyed the serpent, joined the rebellion of Satan. And rather than subduing the earth and ruling the earth and having dominion on the earth in God's name and for Him, they began to have dominion on the earth in Satan's name and for him. So in Adam all die, in Adam, because Adam ceased to function for his created purpose. Every part of Adam did that, individually, spirit, soul, and body. But in a broader sense, mankind failed to take dominion of the earth in God's name. And as we go through the scriptures, that's consistently the problem with man, is that we have this problem of death. We're not functioning for the purpose for which God created us. That's why we spent time last week defining what death is. Because when you understand what death is, then it's very easy to look out at the human race and say, you know, anybody can understand, that understands anything about Scripture, that mankind is not functioning for the purpose for which God created him. Either individual parts of mankind, spirit, soul, and body, or mankind in general as a race. And the responsibility God has given us to take dominion on the earth, mankind is just not functioning for the purpose for which we've been created. Turn to Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, the idea of the three parts of man, that spirit, soul, and body. Remember, we said that in general, Adam ceased to function for the purpose for which he was created, but that each of these parts of Adam, that Adam as a whole was not functioning for the purpose that God created him, but that goes deeper, that affects every part of man's being, spirit, soul, and body. When you get to Romans chapter 1, in Romans chapter 1, Paul is starting the book of Romans by talking about man's nature. And talking about who man is, and talking about the problem that mankind has, and talking about this problem that death has brought to mankind. And he says in chapter 1, verse number 24, "Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." He talks about man there, and he says, they dishonor their bodies. If you look in verse 26, "For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature." God gave them up to vile affections. The soul is the seat of your affections and your will and your emotion. The soul's been given up. Finally, verse 28, "Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient." It's a reprobate mind. The spirit is the seat of your mind. So mankind has been given up body, soul, and spirit. They're given up to dishonor themselves, to the lusts of their flesh. They're given up to vile affections in verse 26. And they're given over to a reprobate mind in verse 28. Body, soul, and spirit. All three parts of man and mankind in general is not functioning for the purpose that he was created. Our spirit does not know God by birth, by nature. Our soul is not a friend of God, is not in communion and fellowship with God. And our bodies are going to go back to the dust from which they were taken. And when all three parts of man are subject to death, then man as a whole cannot function for the purpose for which he was created. He cannot have dominion on the earth in God's name. Now, what we've been talking about so far there is in Adam. Adam was given the responsibility of having dominion on the earth. Adam had a spirit, a soul, and a body that were turned away from God. Adam's body is going to go back from dust from which it was taken. Adam and his wife hid themselves in the garden from the presence of the Lord God. Adam's the one that saw himself as naked and covered himself with fig leaves. But how does it affect you and me? How is it that the sin of Adam affects us? How is it that in Adam all die? Well, Romans chapter 5, Paul is going to explain to us how the problem that Adam had with death and the problem that Adam had with sin becomes our problem. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. By one man sin entered, Adam. And by one man, because by one man sin entered, and the wages of sin is death, then by one man death entered. And death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, the sin that is our problem is not just, it's not just sin that we commit. It's the fact that we're born in sin. It's the fact, last week we looked at Ephesians chapter 2. In fact, keep your hand here in Romans 5 and just turn over for a moment to Ephesians chapter 2. And there's a little phrase that Paul uses there that helps to understand, helps us to understand this. In Ephesians 2, 3, he says, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, and the desires of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. By nature. See, it's in your nature to be a sinner. You do not become a sinner when you commit your first sin. You commit your first sin because you are a sinner. And that's a great difference. Your sin does not come, and your identification as a sinner does not come because you go out one day and commit an act of sin. But you go out one day and commit an act of sin because your nature is that. Because you are by nature a sinner. Why are you a sinner by nature? Because your father, Adam, sinned. And he passed that sin on to his sons, and they to their sons and daughters, and they to their sons and daughters, and they to their sons and daughters, all the way down to you and to me. And we sin because we're sinners, because our father was a sinner. That's the problem. And that's why all men die. Notice the passage here in Romans 5 goes on to say, verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Death reigned even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. The similitude of Adam's transgression is that Adam had violated a commandment of God. And what Paul says in Romans 5 is, even those that have not violated a commandment of God, even those that have not violated God's law, death reigned. Death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over people that had not violated a specific commandment of God. Why? Because by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin. Now you might say, well, that's not fair. Well, in your universe, when you create your universe, you can have it any way you want it. But in God's universe, in Adam, all die. Now, the fact that in one man all die means that one man can make all men righteous. One man, Christ, and his death can make men righteous. Just as Adam's sin is imputed to you, so Christ's righteousness can be imputed to you as a free gift. And that death of Adam and what he brought in that death to the human race is why the human race is subject to vanity. Let's go on just a couple passages or a couple chapters in Romans to chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Verse 20 there says, the creature was made subject to vanity. Vanity, the word vanity means meaninglessness and hopelessness. We have a meaningless, hopeless existence. That's what death does. The wage of sin is death. And that death, because death affects us completely, spirit, soul, and body, and because death completely eliminates and undermines the purpose for which we were created, if we are not functioning for the purpose for which we were